Okay, we're back for, is this episode 88?
Yes, it is.
88? Okay, 88 of Powers and Principalities. Well, I guess tonight will be somewhat, perhaps more topical, although this might be passé, but I think it's already by now, the news cycle has ended on it. But nevertheless, I think the story regarding the confrontation between this high school student, Nicholas Sandman, and activist, Nathan Phillips, a Native American activist, indigenous American activist, professional Indian, whatever they call him. Well, I guess, you know, this kind of went viral last week. And basically what happened was you had members of the Covington Catholic High School from Park Hills, Kentucky, for visiting Washington, D.C. to attend the 46th Annual March for Life. As many Catholic schools do, they bus students in for these things, and they come around and they hope to somehow make an impression on the oligarchs that won Washington, D.C., perhaps, or just a PR move. But they're protesting the Roe v. Wade's decision. That's why it's every year around January 22nd. That's, of course, January 22nd, 1973 was the landmark decision by the Supreme Court, Roe v. Wade, that legalized abortion across the board in the United States, declared it a constitutional right. Anyway, this group encountered two other groups when they were protesting. I think they were waiting to get picked up at the steps of the wash of the Lincoln Memorial. And so at first, this other group, Black Hebrew Israelites, who had loudspeakers there, microphone loudspeakers, and they were preaching to the crowd, saying all types of things, sort of verbally accosting and insulting this group. And then this other group, a group of Native Americans, came in and got in between them. And what happened was there's a short video that was released, which went viral, emerged showing the high school students, one high school, Nick Sandman, wearing a Make America Great Again hat, a MAGA hat, and appearing to smirk, although I really didn't see, I just saw like a smile, but I guess you'd call it a smirk if you want, a smirk while a crowd of other teens laughed behind him at the, apparently at the 64-year-old Native American. Played a drum. Of course, he was beating a drum in Mr. Salmon's face. Immediately, there's like maybe a three-minute video that was released. It was obviously edited, but nevertheless, it drew tweets from celebrities and journalists and other public figures. But after that, of course, a longer version of the video emerged, and maybe perhaps videos from provided other perspectives, and it revealed a completely different event. In fact, it wasn't as if the kids approached and surrounded Nathan Phillips. Nathan Phillips actually approached the students and actually got in Mr. Salmon's face. So the nature of the altercation got a fundamentally different understanding once the video was released. But nevertheless, the press ran with it. And even many conservative journalists in Washington, D.C. Tweeted out and wrote some rather critical things of the students. What's strange is even the Covington Diocese that the boys come from, the school, threw the kids under the bus, so to speak. They released a statement saying they were critical of students and they were going to investigate what happened. I think the statement went something like, here it is. The Covington Diocese released a statement that said, "We condemn the actions of the Covington Catholic High School students toward Nathan Phillips, specifically and Native Americans in general. January 18th, after the March for Life in Washington, D.C., we extend our deepest apologies to Mr. Phillips. This behavior is opposed to the Church's teachings on the dignity and respect of the human person. The matter is being investigated, and we'll take appropriate action up to and including expulsion." So without any evidence, without any gathering the facts, they had willing just to, throw the kids under the bus. And what's telling is sort of this knee-jerk reaction to this stuff. Because when I saw this, when the story first broke, I just immediately dismissed it as just a completely manufactured event, meaning that it's a product of editing, that this is a ridiculous story just being created out of, almost like it's a story that's created out of thin air just to create a controversy. And it turns out I was kind of right. That was my initial reaction. What happened was, now, I have some experience with some of these events or protests, particularly the March for Life, because it occurs in Washington, D.C., and I live nearby, so I've gone to several of them. And several of the protests in general. Whenever you go to a protest, and this is particularly true in Washington, D.C., and it's particularly if it's a conservative or right-wing protest, leftists will kind of horn in on it and try to have counter-protests for whatever cause or agenda. So within the larger protests, there's always several little encounters, not even altercations, just encounters of people kind of disagree, verbally abusing one another, disagreeing or facing people down, not really violent. And this appeared to be the Sam and Phillips stand down. It appeared to be that such a thing. And it turns out I was right, because you get these things. And if you look at the whole chemistry situation, you have a bunch of high school students waiting to get picked up. They've been walking around all day. They're all boys and all that. And they behave rather well from all accounts. To see them, you know, behave the way that, even if they did behave the way they did in the original video, I didn't see any story to it. It was just manufactured. But whenever you go to some of these protests, there's always something like this that occurs. But nevertheless, no one apparently seems to have any understanding of this. Even like journalists, political journalists, don't have any understanding of this chemistry, or this dynamic, and they just flew off the handle, and they started going on their tweets and starting posting articles. I think it was Jack Morrissey, who's a Hollywood producer. I think he produced Beauty and the Beast and also Twilight series. He said. Said #MAGA MAGA kids go screaming hat first into the wood chippers. Bill Kristol, the neoconservative, this is what he said: the contrast between the calm dignity and quiet strength of Mr. Phillips and the behavior of MAGA brats who have absorbed the spirit of Trumpism. This is a lesson which all Americans can learn. Of course, he never apologized because he just took the tweet off, but he hasn't apologized. National Review said the Covington kids might as well have spat on the cross. Then there's talk of privilege. These kids were white, apparently. It was Alex Kranz from Gizmodo. He said the smirk revealed the attitude, I'm rich, I'm white, and I'm a guy. So basically you have this sort of interpretation of the event as because they saw a white kid facing down a person of color, it was immediately assumed that the white kid was guilty and the person of color was a victim and morally superior. And even right-wingers assumed this. But since then, more information has come out. Nathan Phillips' character seems to be very sketchy or questionable character, a professional activist, and not particularly honest with his background. So that's sort of my take on it. Joe, what do you have to say?
Gee, it was hard to watch. You sent me a video of a Tucker Carlson show about the event. And Carlson pointed out that the video that the media was promoting had been heavily edited. Mm-hmm. And it gave the visual impression of the Catholic kid basically just kind of smiling. And it's hard really, in the video to even know what his kind of emotions are. He looked a little intimidated because the Indian had come. You could see he was very like right in his face with mm-hmm. his drum. The kids in back of the one who was the centerpiece, white boy. This group, they were chanting. They had like picked up the chant that the Indian guy was doing, and they were chanting along. And they were actually, it was kind of a mockery of the guy, mm-hmm. right? So, and I think that's the that's the hat that the Catholic school is gonna, hang on the hook as far as like, these people are bad. And first on just what if we, and I want to get into another perspective, but what if we just presume that it is a real event? Okay, let's just say it was a real event. The fact is the white kids were just behaving completely normally. They were just sitting there waiting to be picked up by a bus. What hadn't been represented in the video, in order the video that was released, which showed them as this you know, as the moral evil in the little drama that was being presented to the public. What hadn't been given to them was the comments of I forget the name of the outfit. It's like Black Israel.
Yeah, the Black Israelites.
Right, the Black Israelites. And these are really kind of violent, uneducated people who were hurling just the most vile insults imaginable. They were saying that these kids were the children of incest, mm-hmm. right? And the idea was is that they were playing off of the you know, the pedophilia, mm-hmm. Right, of the Catholic Church. So that was in the. It was in the actual exchange, but it didn't make it into past the editing and into the, you know, everyone's living room, which just had the kid smiling and the Indian guy beating his drum. And then you had all of the left wing guys hallucinate, basically. You know, if you look at their comments, they were saying, you know, the Indian guy was, you know, quiet dignity. But actually, just look at it for a second. You can see that he's really being the aggressive one. If anyone has quiet dignity, it's this kid who's been assaulted by a guy with a drum who's beating it right in his face and chanting.
And let's remember, these are they're
high school kids.
High school kids. And it's amazing. I was seeing these kids, and I guess as you get older, they look like such babies.
Yeah, I mean, but I think it's probably 16, 17 years old.
Yeah,
but
16, yeah.
And I was actually quite proud of them. I mean, they held their ground pretty well, you know, and particularly when you, like, listen to the violent, you know, insults that the Black Israelites are hurling at them. And the tone of the voice of the Black Israelites is basically fighting words. In other words, they're winding up for, you know, physical attack.
Well, let me ask you a question. If the white supremacist group had been there during, let's say, the so-called Million Man March or, you know, civil rights protest, you think there would have been a peaceful conclusion to this altercation?
I don't think so.
Okay.
And so just if we take it as a, you know, piece of reality in America, these white kids were completely in the right. They had every right to be there. As far as they're picking up the chant from the Indian as a way of basically kind of balancing the tension of being assaulted by this kid with the drum, this is just a normal thing for kids to do. And in fact, if they hadn't done it, it would have been the result of being afraid and giving in to the intimidation. I thought the fact that they were young men, they were boisterous, they kept their basically their virility intact with their behavior.
Isn't that the issue?
Well, of course, you know, and so I was actually proud of them for, you know, for not, you know, just cowering and, you know, and because everything, you know, could have gotten into that kind of situation with sort of the violence that was coming at them. And it's really kind of puzzling as to why the Black Israelites and the Indians even went after this particular group. I guess it's because of the MAGA hats. You know, they were wearing MAGA hats, which have become this purported hot button, you know, racial dialectic in America.
Well, apparently with like Antifa and many millennial leftists or activists, that's enough to trigger them to assault you if you're wearing
it. Sure. I mean, the thing is, And the thing is that when you have this Make America Great Again, I think it's pretty easy to see through it and to realize that really what it's saying is Make America White Again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the two are synonymous, at least as far as, you know, the kind of images of history that the people who wear MAGA hats have. Which is completely incorrect. They don't understand the history of America. They have been led to this propaganda.
It's a boomer mythology.
Exactly. And so it's kind of sad to see people succumbing to this because the Trump propaganda to the unemployed, opiate-addicted white male, which got him elected, is complete nonsense. Trump isn't there to make America white European again. Trump is there to, you know, support the Masonic Jewish, you know, media financial power, right? I was watching, they had a video of Pence, you know, the vice president. He was at the wall last week, you know, in Jerusalem. And
that's right. They have a wall.
Yeah. Well, they have a wall, right. But I mean, you know, you can just see.
You're talking about the Wailing Wall, right?
It's this obvious kind of alchemical thing where, you know, the Jewish religious history is just, mm-hmm. is so wonderful and powerful. And we have to, you know, honor it, even though it's a little weird for Gentiles to do that, because if you look at Deuteronomy, all it talks about is genociding Gentiles and Palestinians and Philistines, you know. And you wonder, well, why would we honor this religion? You know, we should be asking the people who are, you know, adherents of the religion to, like, maybe forget it, because, you know, it's racist, it's genocidal, this chosen people thing is really preposterous, and it's influencing you in a bad way. And so that would be, you know, one approach that Pence could take. But instead, you know, now he goes to the wall and, you know, kind of dovens in front of it with his yarmulke on. So this is, you know, kind of showing you that the whole idea of make America white again is just the people who believe in it, and who gave Trump their vote and who thought he was going to drain the swamp, you know, they were just deluded. Trump is a 100% oligarch creature. Okay, that's all he is. And everything that you're experiencing as far as propping up Trump, or, you know, did he, was assisted by the Russians, all this stuff is just a theater that is either there to distract, or more important, I think, moreover, to basically mind control, right? I mean, that's really what all this stuff does. And so when I saw the thing by Carlson, I mean, Carlson talked, you know, he pointed out that there was another side to the video, right? Mm-hmm. And then he started talking about, he mentioned all of those left wingers who were basically advocating violence against against these young men, right? They were this one Hollywood producer. What a cesspool this guy is! You know, he made the Twilight series.
Yes, yeah.
Which is just, it's about a sick, you know, God, piece of a video is, and it just this side of a snuff film as far as, you know, the damage it does to people who watch this crap,
particularly teenage girls who are really vulnerable to that stuff.
I mean, it's so sick. You know, I mean, for God's sakes, parents don't ever let your kids watch this crap. But anyway, so he goes, well, the kids should be thrown in a wood chipper, and he has a picture of a wood chipper, mm-hmm. you know, just playing off of the Coen brothers, you know, wood chipping, you know, episode where they
in they Fargo, chip. Yeah.
Yeah, you know. So anyway. So
wait. Did he get his account shut down because of this?
Hey, wait a second. What about the YouTube? Did he get like censored like we do?
Yeah.
I mean, good heavens, you know. Anyway, so the thing is that you've got these, you know, just the left wing cesspool types, and they're all attacking the kids. But so Carlson is there to defend them, and you know the. If you don't mind, I just want to segue for a second into like my take on the Carlson piece. I mean, Carlson comes from the most spook-oriented family imaginable. His dad was ran the Voice of America and, you know, CIA projects like the Information Bureau and stuff. So he comes from a spook family, and suddenly he ends up and he's this like right-wing guy. And they have him as, you know, I see him as a lifetime actor. They just have him as the idea of he's there to be an articulate kind of one half of the dialectic. And you think that, you know, he's taking you to someplace good, or even like, you know, bringing out information that other people won't, you know, he's kind of there to, he's there to help the MAGA crowd. And in fact, you know, it's a limited hangout in my opinion. And this obviously is more realistic than what the left wing, you know, equal type, certainly. And so Carlson is to be commended for that, right? He actually brings out some real stuff. He shows that the kids are the ones who are being assaulted. And so that was great, you know, so that far is good. And, you know, you're as you're watching the thing, you're going, well, okay, this is good. At least, you know, there is this racial intimidation against these white kids. It's really violent. It is really militaristic. The left wing Hollywood types and celebrities are jumping on the bandwagon of these types. And there's this kind of, you know, basically race defense, you know, that you can think of Carlson helping to come about. But then at the end, Carlson, you know, son of the CIA Voice of America guy, he switches gears. It's very interesting because he goes, you know, he says, a lot of people will say that this episode is about race, but it's not about race. The people who are saying it's about race are not telling the truth. They're lying. He goes, you know, it's really just about bad political, you know, behavior. Mm-hmm. He goes, the political people who are attacking these guys are really just, they don't want to be criticized because they are failing politically. So he takes this right back. Instead of seeing a race war that is basically being constructed by these events, which is the just absolutely clear-cut reality, he takes people into this other kind of weird dimension where it's not about race at all. It's about failed political leaders. We need to like elect more mega, hat guys. But see, to me, this is, you know, the expression alchemical. I mean, so, but it's really just mind control. I mean, really what Carlson is doing is he's trying to get basically the white male, because this was really who was the centerpiece of this propaganda, you know, the kids, the Catholic kids. He's trying to get their capacity to defend themselves in a race struggle, because that's really what they were experiencing, denuded. You know, they really, it's really, you know, don't pay any attention to the black Israelites who are saying that, you know, and very violently, you know, that we're going to, that you're the product of incest, or even the Indian guy who comes right up, and it's kind of a physical assault, right? I mean, if someone did that to me, you know, come right up into my face and beat a drum, I mean, it would depend on the circumstance, but one option would be I would just knock his lights out. You know? So I'm from the 60s. You know, I can't help it. A white male, crazy. So the thing is, that's just how it is. It's a physical assault, and you can respond physically to those kinds of things. At least give him a good hard shove to get him away from you, you know. So anyway, so what happens is that Carlson takes you into this basically impossible to connect to anything that's real world. And I think it's, you know, I just look at this guy as a limited hangout. You know, he's kind of a version of like Alex Jones or one of the limited hangout guys that they have to lead the opposition by first gaining trust. So Carlson has this, you know, you can see it in the video where he gains trust by, you know, he's revealing the real thing that that wasn't, you know, shown in the social media. And here the kids are actually good. But then at the end, he takes you into the cul-de-sac where there's no, you don't have any really, you know, response to reality. And I think that if you really want to know what I see there is that this is basically the, you know, it is the implementation of the American Jewish Committee Authoritarian Personality Project. That project, if you look at it, has all of these, you know, pseudo-psychological scales. You know, it's got like the fascism scale and the authoritarian and the ethnic scale. Well, if you, you know, this is all just bizarre pseudo-psychologic nonsense. And it's like, you go, well, what is the point of all of this? And then at the end, they talk about, well, we're going to take you into sex, drugs, and rock and roll, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what we're going to do. But then if you go back in it and you look at all of the pseudo-psychological stuff, you go, why are they having this? It's just ridiculous, you know, the fascism scale, you know, an authoritarian scale. I mean, these things are just crazy. Why are they doing it? It's because it just creates a kind of mesmerizing cul-de-sac, right, where when you get to the next step, which is this the sex, drugs, and rock and roll, which is a deracinated culture, right? Mm-hmm. That you don't see that actually it's been a race war. You see what I mean? In other words, what you don't see is that these sophisticated Masonic Jewish types are actually engaging in a very subtle propaganda. And the point is, it takes away from the racial ethnic energy that would be the first place that the kids, you know, with being assaulted like this, would take, you know, would basically understand reality from. You see, when I look at Carlson, I just think, and I'm not sure I'm explaining this clearly enough, but I just see him. He's trying to basically just take the struggle away, and this was 100% race struggle. Right. I mean, the Indian, you know, with the drum and the white kid's face, you can characterize it any way you want as American Europeans would experience it, who aren't indoctrinated into cultural Marxism. They would go, hey, this is like a race struggle.
Well, right? Didn't some of Mr. Phillips' comrades say go back to Europe?
Did they?
Yeah.
Well, I know that he was saying that he heard them claiming he claimed that they were saying, build the wall, build the wall.
Yeah.
And even the wall is this kind of, you know, it's something that what's going to happen is these things are brought up and there's a strong racial component to them. You see, we can't talk about race, Tim. It's really what has been, it is the first step toward, kind of clear-mindedness. And this was I thought this was a classic example. And the wall is kind of another one, but this thing was like a great little miniature vignette of with Carlson's propaganda at the end. I mean, if you can't look at that event as having a racial nature to it, you cannot think clearly about reality. You're basically in a dream world.
Well, obviously it was set up to be a racial incident because that's how it was immediately treated. And the mainstream press and the tweets and these things. So it's almost as if, you know, you're having a race war declared against you, but if you're...
But you can't fight back.
You can't fight back because you're white.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and these kids are saying, you know, there was this smirk on the face and yeah. I experienced this white smirk all through life. You see, I think that guy who was Krantz who said that yeah. or some like Jewish name. I mean, this is just propaganda. It's just a way to... basically the psychological orientation of ethnicity and of pride in ethnicity, which is part of self-respect, of course.
Yes.
This can exist. So the cultural Marxists work against it with all these different techniques to try to erode it in every way they can. They will take their pitch, you know, that to like the black Israelites or even yeah. to this poor American Indian guy. And these guys are absolutely, they have been deluded in a massive way. They don't know up from down, these poor individuals. You know, I feel sorry for them because they can't see how manipulated they have been. Right. And this whole, you know, it's sort of like, to me, they're as manipulated as the foot soldiers in World War I, you know, that were rammed into each other by the Freemason generals on the German and the British side. That's how badly the manipulation is of these poor people in the Black Israelite movement. I mean, they have been, their understanding of history is basically 100% the wrong direction. It's not just wrong, it's just the wrong direction. They don't know how they got to this place. They don't know where these ideas have come from. They have been very much, their education has been, you know, basically 100% in the wrong direction. And so now they think if they take their protest to these MAGA kids, that this has some, you know, hope for a better world for them, you know. It's just tragic, but this is how successful the propaganda has been. you know.
Yeah, they have been indoctrinated into believing into their grievances, and they define themselves by their grievances, and this creates hatred. And also at the same time, among white ethnic groups, they've been indoctrinated to think that they're guilty. So you have this combination of white guilt, and which engenders contempt and hatred among, you know, the various minorities that are being sort of urged on, you know, by the foundations, you know, by the American Jewish Committee, because they can be used to, again, to break down the majority white ethnicities, which for several reasons actually does pose a threat to their plans for domination. Whereas these various ethnic groups, whether, you know, be they, you know, blacks or Hispanics, they can be used as proxies and cast aside. They've, you know, they have no interest in their well-being.
I mean, it's like when you watch TV now, they have nothing but interracial couples on all the commercials. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Just that every single one you look at, the husband and wife are white and black, and there's like a mixed race child. You know, the idea that the people who are creating this meme are really, you know, looking to have this multicultural world in the future where everyone has political power is really laughable, because that what they're doing is they're implementing the Epsilon and Delta class.
Well, not only are they destroying ethnic identity, they're destroying even identity based on sex.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
well,
exactly. It's... Yeah, because and the thing is that the people who are the victims of this, like the black Israelites and I think a lot of people who are, you know, kind of seeing the interracial coupling as a beautiful, you know, thing showing that we're kind of maturing as a humanity, you know, so these are really pretty ideas, but have they ever stopped and thought about, well, maybe this is weaponized, you know?
Yeah, all pretty ideas can be weaponized. And also ideas that work in theory, you have to see how they're going to work practically. And if you have to look at, and you have to apply, you know, you have to apply the importance of ethnicity, even religion, these things, how it applies to political science. And so how society is going to be organized, and how are people really going to have their rights vindicated and defended? It's not going to be defended by some piece of parchment with some, you know, fuzzy notions of liberty and equality and these things. No, those are just ideas that really have no meaning outside a moral context.
Outside of ethnic power.
Well,
you're just isolated and, you know, like some kind of a deracinated white guy. What are you?
Well, a good example, an example of that maybe is, you have these white guys. Now, let's say that's an ethnicity, but you have white Catholics, and they're in a large group. Because they're in a large group, they weren't intimidated.
Right.
If they had just been a bunch of people who didn't know each other, they all would have been intimidated. But they had identity, and they could fight back, and they weren't threatened. And not only that, it avoided a fight. There was no violence because of that.
Yeah, and I think the fact that they had them as a group, and they have the MAGA hats, I mean, you know, you have to, like wonder, was the whole thing just staged? In other words, we know that the Catholic Church has been compromised. I mean, Alan Dulles's cousin is a cardinal, you know, all of these things showing that the thing is a controlled opposition at this point. So was it weaponized? You know, did they, I know that, as it turns out, there's a particular priest who, I guess he'd been the one that encouraged these groups of these kids to go. And then the fact that the school threw the kids under the bus so violently, you know, saying it's unacceptable. I mean, that just looks a little bit head scratching, doesn't it? I mean,
the Catholic Church since the 60s, you know, they've kind of cornered in because they thought it as sort of moral imperative to support integration and civil rights. So when it came to things like protecting ethnic neighborhoods in the 60s, they completely abandoned the ethnic Catholics, the Irish and the, you know, ethnic Poles in the name of integration without having any real understanding of the sort of the esoteric meaning for this, what was really going on behind the scenes.
I think it's because they've been infiltrated. I think that their political power was infiltrated. And I think that I ask me to prove it and I probably wouldn't give you much evidence, but Alan Dulles' cousin, but you know, the thing is, The fact is that the decision by the Catholic political authority to basically throw the ethnicities under the bus and to embrace the Brave New World just seems to me to be transparently the result of political infiltration.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Well, yeah, here's a good example of the importance of, like, community or parishes or identity, ethno-religious identity. I've given this example before, is how it applies to political power, is in the 1960s, you're the guy... Martin Mullen, the state senator in Philadelphia, who held up the funding for a birth control being promoted by the state of Pennsylvania, and he hailed from this parish, most blessed from a district that was had most blessed sacrament parish in it. It was just large, very compact but heavily populated Catholic area, and they all identified as ethnic Catholics, primarily Irish ethnic Catholics in Philadelphia. And so they were able to flex their political muscle. Now, theoretically, he could make his argument against state funding for birth control and appeal to people of all creeds and colors, right?
Sure.
But no, not really, right? Like, this is the real world, right?
Yeah.
So let's deal with the real world. No, no, no. And this is why he was gerrymandered and the community was busted up and brought in, you know, a bunch of, I guess in this case, a lot of blacks from North Carolina to flood the neighborhood and force the whites out. And then he lost his seat. And then they were able to get the funding through. The Rockefellers were able to do this. And a good example is that apparently what might give some indication of this. This guy, Nathan Phillips, this isn't direct, but he is the recipient of Rockefeller and Ford Foundation funding or Bill and Melinda Gates, have a record of not entirely being, you know, in league with at least with official Catholic doctrine on many matters.
Right. They are kind of known for not being, 100%, but
yeah.
Yeah. So there is this possibility that it was completely orchestrated, that the kids were basically thrown under the bus from the very beginning. In other words, they were sent there just to create this little video moment. Now before the show, you were saying that actually this is very common for, left crackpot political groups to attack, any kind of conservative protest in Washington.
Yeah, the difference is when I went to these things back in the day, back in the 80s, there weren't video cameras everywhere.
But yeah.
You could pretty much spin any narrative. You could produce any narrative you want from one of these events if you like.
Yeah. So anyway, it's hard to know, but I would just put out as the idea that the whole thing was orchestrated, that the kids were sent there and that the whole idea was is they wanted them. They were in front of the Lincoln Memorial to be picked up. That's kind of suspicious, and then the American Indian and the black guy are there, to humiliate them for being racist. The kids pick up the chant, and this, is shown as like they're hateful and disrespectful, when obviously it was the other way around. But then it ends up. So what I'm actually saying is that what is happening psychologically in general from the from the media circus about this thing, is that it's just another step down the ladder into the Brave New World of integration for the white male, right? Because these kids were so humiliated. They were basically attacked.
Yeah,
they were attacked verbally on the spot. Then they were not protected by the school, right? And so it I think the natural effect of the event will be that future groups of white male who are 15 and 16 white boys really will be just more intimidated. See, I think that's really what has occurred. And when is that basically the whole thing has been orchestrated to just be a kind of another step toward intimidating, particularly young white males. I mean, this was really the target group that they would love to get at psychologically would be, young males in high school.
Well, yeah. Why is it presumed that whenever you have a confrontation like this, that the person of color is presumed to be, you know, the victim or the one who is morally superior. You know, that's another thing, is where instead of just seeing it as a confrontation or two different people of varying backgrounds or views confronting one another and saying, oh, well, you know, that's America. It's turned into this, this circus, media circus. And that's another thing, is something like this, something so trivial as an old 64-year-old protester having run-in with a bunch of high school students, doesn't even turn violent, can get the attention.
Yeah, thing is that, so basically you've had a kind of physical assault by the Indian guy,
yeah,
and then verbal assault, a violent verbal assault by Black Israelite,
yeah,
group.
CNN, CNN by the reporter, is Black men preaching the Bible.
Right, yeah, right. that almost, yeah. But you're talking about the kids were incest babies. I mean, it was just the most, I won't even repeat it, if some of the stuff was so vile that this group was hurling at these white kids. Anyway, and so, and then you have this school throw the kids under the bus just 100%, right? They don't even attempt to, like, defend the kids after having sent them there, evidently.
Well, I mean, that's emblematic of the church today.
Yeah.
I mean, look how the church is with, how they're supporting mass immigration, because they're getting, $85-90 million a year.
Well, it just, to me, this is, they pretend, like all of the Lifetime actors who have infiltrated the political system and the various, sovereignties, Catholic Church and, mm-hmm. State rights. And if you get all the cultural Marxists are everywhere, and they always have some kind of cover narrative. The church has, it has an interpretation of scripture, I guess, that enables them to throw the ethnic neighborhoods and basically their entire religious structure under the bus, and they've got some kind of hocus pocus cover narrative. But this is just nonsense. These are just cultural Marxists with some training in propaganda who have a robe on and a Roman and masquerading as legitimate priests, mm-hmm. That this is how the Brave New World is going to be set up. But my point is that the kids were thrown under the bus by the church, and then they are defended finally by Tucker Carlson. But then at the end of the defense, he comes, he kind of just throws everything under the bus, and he goes, well, this wasn't about race. This was about political failure.
Well,
this,
yeah, what he says, it's almost, he says, it's not about left or right. It's about elites and middle America. Coastal elites having contempt for middle America. People from Kentucky. And I guess he was trying to, I think Bill Kristol said something similar. But Tucker Carlson says, these people from Kentucky and the Rust Belt, middle America, this is where America is mostly white. And, they deserve, they're bigots, so they deserve, their opioid addiction, their poverty, their unemployment, and to die younger. And he sees it sort of as a class issue, elites versus,
But see, again, that's right. And I just think that's nonsense. It's just a clever way to basically take the real issue not only out of the table, but to kind of sweep it out of the mind.
Yeah, but when he says middle America, is he dog whistling white?
Of course. the thing is that even some a limited hangout can't even come up with vocabulary to completely ignore, it's like I said, MAGA. I mean, make America great again. What does that mean?
I've heard Tucker Carlson say that America is diverse, and that's great. He says that's a throwaway line.
Yeah, of course,
does that mean? What does diversity really mean? I mean, obviously,
how is that great?
Yeah.
Where is the greatness? Why is that somehow implicit in the idea of integration?
I hear all the time, and I've made this point before, that women are now more politically aware and active, and that's going to make a difference in politics. Because now women, it really doesn't sound true because women have different political views as well. But my point is, they're saying, so you can identify as a woman to advocate and enforce a certain type of politics and policy because you're a woman. Or minorities, they're growing in numbers because of birth rates and low birth rates among whites, and so there's a changing face of America. It's getting darker. That's going to change the politics. Okay, so now that you're saying race does matter, Okay. So obviously the question is, so then if America stays whiter, or if men have more influence than women in politics, does that change the politics? Then we can get into the issue of what's the quality of the politics? Then we can debate the issues. What exactly are you advocating? My point is, what you're saying, then it's okay to identify as a white male to affect or to carry out, have some policies carried out based on your ethnicity, whiteness, if you will, whatever, deracinated, but okay, what is, or because you're a man, because men have certain views or outlooks or virtues when it comes to, if women have certain virtues and outlooks when it comes to politics, men must have too, right? No, men are all evil. And this is the thing, it's white men are evil. And this is also coming under, the broad cultural attack that's been carrying on for carrying on for decades. And so they admit it, they declare the war. They declare the war on sexes, or the war between the sexes, which is, it's a war on, really, it's a war on everybody. Just they're using damaged, confused women, marginalized ethnic groups as proxies to bring about the new tyranny, because they're going to smash, what's decent and what remains of the rule of law and freedom in this country. And like I said, freedom isn't just an empty word. For freedom, what we really mean by freedom and liberty is having the institutions, the relationships, the communities where our interests can be pursued and defended, where we do have identity in these things. And it's one of these things where when they talk about liberty and freedom, the way the left talks about it, which is doing whatever the heck you want, the exoteric meaning is freedom to do what you want. But the esoteric meaning is that you're enslaved to your passions, you're manipulated, and you're actually enslaved by those who are there to provide the breads and circuses and these things. And it's a much more, which is what makes it very difficult politically, because we live in an age where democracy and mass democracy and voting, these things are supposed to matter. And it's participation that matters the most, direct participation. Well, that's not necessarily true, because it's really the most of the things that matter in our lives have nothing to do with politics. In fact, they're so important that they're pre-political. And it's the meaningful things in our lives, our family, the religion we have, the families we have, the community, largely based on ethno and religious, these things inform the politics. But if you get rid of all those things, you create sort of a, you wipe the community clear of all these things, and they have nothing. You're atomized. And what do you have? You have the global society, which is what they want.
The Brave New World,
Brave
yeah.
New World,
Yeah,
yeah.
well said. I actually had a discussion with a Latino earlier this week at Starbucks, which I will never go to again. It's a long story, but I ended up there, and so I was sitting there, and this guy actually knew who I
Did
was.
you buy coffee, or were you squatting?
I would. Yeah, it was the only restroom.
Ah, see,
But
and they didn't kick you out because you were white.
no, I am just kidding. No, I went in to get coffee because it's a long story. But anyway, so I don't like the coffee there, and it's not organic, and I shouldn't drink it. But I was, I like caffeine, and so I went in because I was bored waiting around for someone to get done with something. I went in there, and this guy came up to me. He's a Latino guy, and he knows who I am. I mean, I don't know how. I'm not some kind of celebrity, but he knew I was like the Caesar's Messiah guy. And he wanted to talk to me, and we talked, and so he was like a racial warrior guy, and he was going, you're not really seeing how important it is to have this diversity in the political world, and he's taking this kind of argument because I was like telling him that basically that the integration was being sold to him because he couldn't think clearly, and it was taking him into a slave state. So that was my position, and he didn't like that, and so he was coming back. And so we were kind of like, got a little testy, and I go, well, look, I said, what do you think about 911? And I go, do you think that was an inside job? And he goes, I don't know. He actually was kind of ambivalent about it, because it's like, well, the white guys are evil, who knows, but he wasn't saying it wasn't impossible. So I said, well, let me ask you this. Was 911 a Latino job? How many Latinos were on the operating like the committee to like bring it about? What was it like a black Israelite job? Right. Because you see, there is the real power in our country, right? Pulling off something like that. That's where the media, The military, the political class, there is obedience to a malevolent group. And I'm telling you, brother, I use the expression, I'm telling you, you don't have any Latinos inside that group. So you can see that all this other stuff is just distraction and propaganda, because all that really matters is who's inside that group, because that's the power. Everything else is just a fancy slave state. You can think, see yourself as making progress because there's integration, or because you've got Latino studies right at UCSB. But I'm telling you, if you aren't in that group, right, where you get it to, like, get the media to back up blowing up buildings and killing thousands of people, then you don't have anything. You don't even know up from down in this country. And so that would be, the way that I would try to, get these guys to take the first step away from the propaganda, is just to point out that, the levels of power that that this ethnic struggle is being fought over. It's like the Indian guy, beating the drum in front of, like, the white teenagers, or the black Israelites insulting them and threatening to beat them up. This isn't going to get anywhere. What's the point? What is the ultimate, what is the optimal, result from this conflict, right? Because none of this is helping you get inside that group, the group that can pull off something like 911.
Well, that's, yeah, it's one big diversion. These are a series of little diversions that that keep people from looking at the bigger picture, or at least addressing the real issues. Something like 9/11, 9/11, and other aspects of the deep state and what's really going on in the world. I think it was Hillary Clinton during the campaign. Said they're talking about I think it was Bernie Sanders. Of course, that's all, whatever. Bernie Sanders. But Bernie Sanders was talking about breaking up the banks, and Hillary Clinton goes, well, if we break up the banks, we're still going to have racism and homophobia. It was a great encapsulation of that diversion. I mean, even though I don't really put any faith in Bernie Sanders, whatever he means by breaking the banks, whatever, it doesn't, I don't think he's challenging usury and things like that. But I'm saying that's the whole point. Is, no, let's talk about the sex issues.
Yeah, right. I mean,
Let's talk about, transgenderism, and let's talk about racism, and let's talk, these things.
it's
That the irony is when we're talking about, ethnicity and the war on whites, is we're not arguing for a racialist point of view. We're not saying that, white people should be race warriors in these things. We're just acknowledging how they've been set up. For one
We're
thing, to view
acknowledging
themselves as,
that something like integration and feminism can be weaponized. Look, we're in a situation where basically we're being genocided, right? You can put a bow on it, or, call it different things, but this is really what's going on. And you have to think clearly. So you just have to be able, you have to be able to see what is just there to distract.
80% of black babies are born out of wedlock. Are you going to say their big problem is the white man?
But again, this
No,
is
yeah.
just, they have been so successful in getting the movement into the slave state as defined as progress, that look, there's more integration. This is progress. There's more feminine, participation in political life. This is progress.
Is that part? Yeah.
There's more abortions. I mean,
There's
look at
more abortions.
Yeah.
Women are making
More money, yeah,
more
they're
money than ever. Is that a good thing? Are these positive measurements? More women are getting elected to public office. Is that a good thing?
Yeah.
No, not necessarily. It's like,
Well, I mean, the thing is, it's moot. It's not a good or bad thing. But the question is, has this all been weaponized? Is this whole system of that is being called, well, I would call it cultural Marxism progress, right?
Well,
Is this
I
just a
think,
big weapon to lead us into the slave
yeah,
camp?
I think
Because
if you
it's
look,
obvious that it is,
I think if you look at like employment rates for women, and how most women now work full time, the question is, well, who's raising the kids? Oh, the state. Okay.
That's progress.
That's progress. Okay.
So this is the thing. They've been able to, and with like Tucker Carlson, you know, it's taking it from the perspective of what it really was, which was a racial conflict.
Well, it's like it's almost the equivalent of like Jordan Peterson, right? Says a lot of like common sense good things, and it's the media is so insane. So you have some guy comes out and says some common sense things. It's refreshing to a lot of people, but his advice is a lot of just commonsensical. But it turns out he's like into like giving advice on people to have careers, particularly women, how to be aggressive and have careers in these things. And I heard him in a debate. They're talking about the wage gap, and he shattered that. That's low hanging fruit. But the point is, we live in a society. It's a question: what constitutes a good society? And if you have, sex roles which are based, if they reflect biology and nature, they're healthy. Meaning roles inside, like breadwinner, protector of the family, these things. Women, a woman being a mother. That's a complementary healthy relationship. But when you internalize so much of this feminist claptrap where now it's considered progressive and good that women should go out and seek careers, whatever that means, in profession, be going to politics and these things. I think it's an open question, and I'm become whether it's good or not. I don't think it's a good indicator of a healthy society.
Of course, it isn't. It is an indicator of weaponized anthropology.
Yeah,
that's really what has been in back of it from the very beginning. And the fact is there are, millions of women who can see value in the feminist positions and honest value, real value, mm-hmm. right? Absolutely. There is legitimate goals and improvements in certain areas that you cannot contest. So what?
Yes.
This is the question. The question is, look, is feminism being used as a distraction to lead us into a slave state like integration and, the Federal Reserve System, all of the hocus pocus with the banking stuff.
And depopulation.
Yes. And if the answer is yes, then you have to say, well, gee whiz, we really need to relook at all this stuff. See, what we need to do is instead of the black Israelites and the Indian guy with the drum and the Catholic kids being maneuvered like pawns into this confrontation that can go nowhere for any party, right? Mm-hmm. Believe me, there's nothing there that can help anybody. It's just there for the purpose of creating a video which can be used to push culture further into the cesspool of cultural Marxism. Mm-hmm. So rather than that, it's a long haul, Tim. But the people I would really like to talk to would be the black Israelite guys. I think it would just be fascinating to talk to them. I don't know if they'd want to talk to someone like me. It's like that Latino guy, the one I asked him about 911, and I said, was that like a Latino inside job? probably not. I don't think it was the dancing Huaraches, But anyway, So anyway, the thing is, I just think that these guys, there might be a chance to get groups like this to start to think a little clearer about how they got to the belief system that they have, and maybe to try to think a little bit about whether or not that was actually weaponized. Because, they understand slavery, they understand basically mind control, because they do talk about it. I mean, like Malcolm X talked about it all the time, about how the white man is conditioning us. So they have some of the elements of suspicion.
Well, that's true, because I do, when you talk to, black people do tend to have a greater appreciation of the corruption of the system and the possibility for conspiracy.
Exactly. Because they don't have any, it's like, the white kids might look at Bill Clinton as an example of, gee, I guess we can make it in this world.
Yeah.
And then they have these these, like, the role models seem to be a little more realistic for these guys. But for the black guys, they can, they would, they think they might, I'm just thinking, they might have a little bit more, it might be easier for them to take the step toward, well, we really need to know who, which group, who are inside this group is actually, like, producing 911.
Yeah, skeptical of, they're more, they tend to be more skeptical of power.
And, yeah.
Yeah, which is a generally a healthy thing. It can be, obviously it can be derailed or taken down false trails and these things, which they tend to, you know, do. But so there's within that community there tends to be a healthier skepticism, whereas in the middle class white community, many of people still believe, you know, the boomerism faith in the system and these things, and that's
They believe in America.
Yeah,
you know, they their ideas is that, you know, if you, the kind of criticism that I would bring would the first reaction a lot of these kids is like, well, you're not patriotic. You know, not supporting the troops, you know, it's like, you know, and it's the whole idea of like the weaponization of culture is easier for maybe, I'm just thinking, maybe easier for the black Israelite guys and for like the Catholic kids. But it doesn't matter. We all have to take strides. It doesn't matter where we come from.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if we're Latino or black or the white college kids. You're all headed in a clump to the slave state and then eventually evaporation and replacement by robots. So if you want to preserve yourself and live with a sense of self-defense, then you have to have an information revolution where the all of the elements, you know, of the weaponized anthropology are in your own mind are exposed. See, this is where the exposure has to occur. And this is why, in theory, it is quite doable. Is because the really important weapons are all inside our minds, you see, and therefore we have a chance to get at them, because once we start realizing that this whole culture that has been set up is a propaganda device, then we can help one another think clearly and get rid of all of this system of self enslavement that they have built inside us.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. You know.
Okay, Joe, we covered it.
Jim, yeah, I think we did, brother. It's been a great pleasure, and I'm hoping that we can do a show tomorrow to tape, because I'm going to be gone for a couple of weeks, and I'm hoping we can tape a show to.
Yeah. Well, what time works for you?
Same time. I'll be on your schedule.
Perfect. Okay. Yeah, we'll do it in the evening.
All right, brother. Well, anyways, that was fun. I'll look forward to talking to you tomorrow.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Good night then. Bye-bye.